This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. Hey, listeners, welcome back. So this is going to be a three-part series. As you are probably aware at this point, that episodes, the Pause to Ponder episodes, drop every other week. And in the month of May, there are three of those. And so this is going to be a three-part series, but with a very, very intentional purpose. You see, I don't know if it is the work that I've been doing for others, if it is some sort of, I hate to say midlife crisis, because it is by no means a crisis. Maybe it is a blend of the things, but I have decided to do something a little bit different here. The podcast is turning four this month, so I appreciate all that you have done to make it this far. But this summer, I'm going to take a pause. I will drop old episodes, but I will not be recording and releasing new episodes during the next 3 months. However, I will tell you this, I have some amazing guests lined up for when we return, one being Dr. Zaretta Hammond. Yeah, like that, Zaretta Hammond. I know, I was surprised too when she answered. This is a three-part series. As I begin to wind down, leading up to the summer, and I think a lot of the reason for this decision, which led into these series, is influenced heavily by this book, Essentialism, by Greg McKeown. And I know I've mentioned it before, and I've been running a few workshops around it, and it's very hard to dive into something and to embrace something and to share it with others without truly living it. And I think the more I've been reflecting on it, the more I've been sitting in this space, the more it makes sense. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe I will despise the break and just be like, you know what? I'm coming back. And maybe I will enjoy the time for myself and for those around me. And so this is the first of that three-part series that talks about the power of priority, right? Focusing on choosing what really matters. And I hope that over the three episodes, especially this one, that we're going to dive right deep into those things that are crucial, right? And focusing on those elements that are truly essential. So I say all of this because I think if you're like me, right, if you're a school leader, if you work in education, heck, if you're a person, you've often found yourself, I'm willing to bet that you've often found yourself just overwhelmed by the sheer amount of things that you feel that you need to do. whether those are school events, district meetings, community outreach, podcasts, the list goes on. But here's a question that I had to ask myself. Am I making the highest possible contribution to the things that truly matter? Right, when I did this work with principals across the district, one of the questions that I loved that we came up with is that, can I sustain doing these things, but also sustain my well-being? Right, and to be honest, we are our biggest asset. When I talk about the things that really matter, yes, I am talking about those around me, my loved ones, but I'm also talking about myself. And I think that oftentimes when we have this conversation, we don't include ourselves in that piece when we talk about what really matters. So when we think about the concept of essentialism, it isn't about how do we get more things done? How do we get better? How do we become more efficient and more effective? But instead, it poses the idea of how do we get the right things done? It doesn't mean just doing less, but instead being more selective about where we direct our energy and our time. And to be honest, I've had a few turning points recently. I remember, you know, there was just a week. It was busy. I was juggling multiple deadlines, and I received an invitation to a conference. Now, normally, right, I would say yes, without a second thought. Yes, 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 yes. A word that has become so commonplace in my vernacular that I overcommit myself without thinking about, is this plausible? Is it practical? But this time, I paused. And I tried to apply the concepts of this text that I was reading and teaching. And I asked myself, is attending this conference the best use of my time right now? Right? Will it significantly impact my goals? What will I need to say no to? What will I need to sacrifice? What are the trade-offs if I say yes? Right? And as I thought about it, for the first time in a very long time, I declined. And I'll be honest, it wasn't easy. But it was liberating. The decision not to attend the conference, the decision not to take on the task of creating slides and developing concepts, the decision to say no allowed me to complete my work without the added stress of trying to fit yet another commitment into an already packed schedule. It wasn't easy. But it was a practical application of prioritizing what was truly essential. And for us, especially those of us in education, I get it. Every task seems critical. But they can't all be the most important. I mean, it defeats the concept of priority. We can't have multiple priorities, otherwise they're not the priority. So we have to learn to cut through the clutter and to remove those obstacles so that those things that are essential have a clear path. And I know it sounds easier said than done. And so, like most of these episodes, I want to help, right? I want to give you three questions that you can apply as you are facing spaces such as this. One, what do I feel deeply inspired by? Is that work moving you? Do you feel inspired to do the work, or is this a task that has become a chore? And I've always said when I launched this podcast that the moment that it feels like it has become a task, a chore, something that I am required to do, I would deeply consider whether or not I will do it again. And I don't want it to become in that space. But I have found myself often looking at things that I would once jump on. It's no longer spaces of inspiration, but rather chores that are expected to be done, not by myself, but by those around me. Number two, what am I particularly talented at? And I want you to think about this and this fact of sometimes there are things that we're good at. There's plenty of things that I am capable of doing. But just because I am good at something doesn't mean I'm talented. And to be honest, I think that I have forced myself into some spaces and convinced others that there are some things that I am truly talented at doing. Whereas the reality is I'm pretty good at them. And what we have to recognize is that when you are talented, it drives that inspiration, it drives that passion, it drives that purpose. It is something that fuels you up as you are doing the work. But when it is a chore, you are expelling more energy than you are receiving from it. And if you sit in that space, that is when you find yourself drained and eventually, if not addressed, burnt out. So ask yourself, is this something that I'm good at, or is it something in which I am talented? And number three, what meets a significant need in the world around me? Does this thing make sense? Am I making the spaces that I occupy better by doing this work? And earlier I mentioned the idea of trade-offs, because as where we would like to say yes to everything, every time we say yes to something, whether we recognize it, whether we like it or not, we are saying no to something else. And if this thing isn't meeting a significant need in the world, if that is your job, if that is your task, and yet you're giving up something else, ask yourself why. Ask yourself what it is that you're sacrificing, who it is that you're sacrificing, what relationships are you sacrificing, and does it merit that contribution to these other spaces in which you are finding yourself? It is my hope that aligning your efforts around these questions can transform not just your professional life, but will also have a significant impact on your personal satisfaction. It's funny that we sometimes sacrifice the latter for the former. So as I get ready to close this episode, these are supposed to be pause to ponders, not full episodes. I want to leave you with this, that essentialism is about making the wisest possible investment of your time, of your energy, so that way you can operate at your highest point of contribution by doing only what is, well, essential. So as I mentioned, this is a three-part series. This is part one. And I know that some of the things that I said earlier may seem easy. And one of the hardest things to do when you recognize that maybe this whatever task or ask or commitment or contribution is not in alignment, is not something that you should be doing, is how do you say no? And well, I'm going to try to tackle that. I'm going to try in part two. Until then, use these questions, take some time, think about what's essential in your life, and take the steps necessary to focus on that. Until next time. I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.